Hello, I'm Richard Wright of the Pink Floyd, and you're listening to the world premiere broadcast of The Division Bell on the Album Network.
I'm Redbeard. Let's continue our discussion with Pink Floyd drummer Nick Mason.
Comment on specifically about Rick Wright's contribution musically to The Division Bell.
The sound is quite often, it's not necessarily only to do with what the solo instruments are. It is to do with an overall sound, and Rick's contribution at that level is immeasurable. And you forget it until you hear it. And he's an extraordinary character anyway, because a lot of what he does is totally natural. I mean, if you ask him to sort of, if you explain what you want, he might have some difficulty with it. If you just leave him to do it, it just comes straight out. But there are certainly bits and pieces on the record that were done by simply leaving Rick in the room with the tape recorder running, and just while he was, and he just played. And you could, it was a bit like panning for gold, you know. You could then take this stuff and shake it, and there were the golden nuggets.
David Gilmour notes that keyboardist Rick Wright possesses another talent which has been missing in action for two decades.
Rick's got a very good voice, you know. He's got he's an instantly recognizable voice, you know. You can't miss Rick's voice, and I've always wanted to use it, but you have to find the right place, the right vehicle for him, and this is substantially his song. Anthony Moore was working with us again on this album, and he came up with the idea for that one, and Rick sang it. What can I say? It's very nice, very lovely piece, and everyone who listens to it, you know, that I know in listening to it, goes, God, it's that voice that used to be, you know, that used to be a part of the Pink Floyd sound and hasn't been so much lately, and it's kind of a thrill for people.
And finally, Richard Wright on the subject of Richard Wright.
Because of the unique perspective you have on this, because of the way you've done it, is The Division Bell particularly sweet for you personally?
It was fulfilling because I wrote on it. And I wrote with Dave on it. And I sang on it for the first time a lead vocal since Dark Side of the Moon. So that was very fulfilling.
Good.
Because, you see, I have to say, I've never, ever had any confidence in my voice.
Okay.
But I wrote this song, Wearing the Inside Out. And so I had to sing it. And it was quite interesting because I haven't really sung. And went in and did a track of singing it. I'd rehearsed it with Anthony Moore, who wrote the lyrics, but I basically hadn't really sung for 20 years. And did one take, and Bob Ezrin said, okay, that's it, which I couldn't believe. And went in and listened to it, and I said, yes, it is nearly it. And we worked on it a bit. But it's a song that really suits my voice. I don't have a versatile voice, okay? I'm not a Dave. There are certain ways of singing I can do, uh-huh. Like the choruses of Time, Us and Them, or the Chorus of Time. I have a voice that can do certain ways of singing, and Wearing the Inside Out, because I wrote it, would suit my voice. I couldn't sing Money, for example.
Thank you.
Thank you.
from the world premiere of Pink Floyd's The Division Bell. That was the vulnerable yet poignant everyman vocal of Richard Wright, the Pink Prodigal, on the song that he wrote called Wearing the Inside Out. It's a wonderful double entendre. Remember, Pink Floyd's new album is available next Tuesday, but if you just can't wait, check for special Monday midnight on sales in your area. Call this radio station for the store nearest you. As the sold-out crowd here on opening night in Miami enjoy the song Us and Them, originally from The Dark Side of the Moon, we'll take a short time out before we return with all three members of Pink Floyd for the world premiere of The Division Bell on the Album Network.
Hello, I'm Richard Wright.
I'm Nick Mason.
And I'm David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, and you're listening to the world premiere broadcast of The Division Bell on the Album Network.
I'm Redbeard. Just as The Division Bell tolls, rock superstardom exacts a heavy toll on the personal, unseen lives of its purveyors, Pink Floyd's David Gilmour included.
What kind of person returned home after the extended Momentary Lapse world tour and its dizzying success?
Well, a sort of a schizophrenic person, I think, is the person that returned from all that. I was very happy with our success, very happy with what we had achieved professionally during that time, but I was going through a very, very bad stage in my personal life, which wound up in a divorce and all that sort of stuff that one goes through. So it was, like I said, it was very schizophrenic. I was sort of very happy professionally, very unhappy personally. And so I was kind of messed up, I think, at the end of it all.
Hmm. I'm wondering, why are you showing so much of yourself on The Division Bell and letting us into a place that I don't think you've ever let us into before?
I suppose, really, the first album that I was in charge of, and I was having, that I could have done that on, was the Momentary Lapse of Reason album, when I was sort of entering a really difficult personal phase, but didn't want to get into it, and didn't want that to get into the record particularly, I guess. I don't really know. Right now, I'm in a much better personal state than I was at that time. Very happy in my life and not unhappy to sort of let it seep through into some of the music. You have to do what you feel is the right thing to do at any one given moment, and if you may not have the reasons for it firm up against the front of your mind, but these felt like the things that I wanted to put into the music, and some of them just come about accidentally, you know. And you start off with a little piece of music and something comes to mind and you think, yeah, and you start exploring it, and it takes its own volition. And the only decision you really have to make is whether you are brave enough to actually leave it there like that, not change it, not disguise it over much.
There's the risk.
Yeah, but I don't feel that there's. I don't think there's any great risk in the stuff that we've recorded on here. I don't feel so exposed by it. I mean, there are aspects of me that I expose in it, I suppose, that I'm very happy to expose. I don't have any great problem with exposing them.
Richard Wright of Pink Floyd continues.
What was the feeling when you came at the conclusion of the Momentary Lapse tour? What was said, what was left unsaid about the future?
I don't think there was any clear idea of the future, except that everyone realized the band had started happening again. And there was a lot of sadness.
Why? What kind of sadness?
At the end of the tour.
Oh. Parting?
And that last tour had a wonderful feeling to it that we hadn't had for years. Because I've done every Pink Floyd tour. And certainly for me, I had probably the best feeling of the band being together since the beginning, virtually. So I knew it was going to happen again. There was no way that after the feeling that we had on that tour that Dave or Nick would say, not again.
Pink Floyd's Nick Mason.
What has changed with you, Rick, and David that allows you to create music this way?
It was a moment when we did review, really, how other albums had been done and what we liked in past albums and what we'd like to do again and find. What I particularly wanted on this record was for it to be much more a played record and played by the band rather than bringing people in to augment it and help do it and so on. At least the sort of basic ideas are all designed and therefore playable by the principals.
David Gilmour tells us about High Hopes, the epic closing song on Pink Floyd's The Division Bell.
High Hopes was really the last one. It was written after all the others were sort of in some form or another. I think I wrote it in July or something. It was very, very quick. It's one of those ones that works quickly but beautifully, almost immediately. And I came up with a tiny bit of music, just had it on a cassette, just a few bars of piano. And then I went off to get away to a small house somewhere with my girlfriend, Polly, and to try and make some progress on lyric writing. And she gave me a phrase about something about before time wears you down. And I took it from there and got stuck into a whole sort of thing about, I suppose, it's autobiographical, really, I suppose I'd have to say on that one. It's about my life, Cambridge life, my childhood, I suppose. We came up with it very, very quickly. We wrote the words to it, in a day. And then I went back to the studio with no one else there the minute I got back and put a demo down of it. Did everything myself on it, and it was virtually complete in a day.
Beyond the horizon of the place we lived when we were young, in a world of magnets and miracles, our thoughts trade constantly and without boundary. The ringing of the division bell had begun. Band followed in our footsteps, running before time took our dreams away, leaving the myriad small creatures trying to tie us to the ground, to a life consumed by slow decay. The grass was greener, the light was brighter, with friends around her. The nights of wonder, looking beyond the embers of bridges glowing behind us, a glimpse of how green it was on the other side. Steps taken forwards, but sleepwalking back again, dragged by the force of some inner tide. We'll be right back. by desire and ambition. There's a hunger still unsatisfied. Our weary eyes still stray to the horizon. Go down this road we've been so many times. The grass was greener. The light was brighter. The taste was sweeter. The nights of wonder. With friends surrounded. The dawn missed glow.
That's the way Pink Floyd's first studio album of the 90s concludes with the song High Hopes. I'm Redbeard, live from Pink Floyd's opening night of their North American tour in Miami's Joe Robbie Stadium, where Pink Floyd is mesmerizing 63,000 South Floridians with the song Comfortably Numb. This is from their 1979 album, The Wall. Listen to this crowd. Oh, and the spectacle is just amazing. Right now, the audience, 63,000 sold out, is being bathed in spectacular light from the largest mirror ball I think ever produced in the world. The entire stadium right now is just awash in lighted glitter. It's fantastic. And of course, this song is such a signature piece for Pink Floyd. Now, The Division Bell, the new Pink Floyd album, will be in stores this coming Tuesday. What we're going to do is take a brief time out. When we come back, we'll recap tonight's world premiere of The Division Bell and tell you more about the other 57 Pink Floyd concerts to be staged between now and July 18th. There will be a major Pink Floyd concert tour near you, and there are still some tickets available. We'll tell you all about it as the world premiere of The Division Bell continues on the Album Network. Welcome back to Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami, opening night of Pink Floyd's The Division Bell North American Tour. I am Redbeard, and all I can say is, you've got to see this show. We are live, just to kind of give you the ambiance of Pink Floyd's opening night. Of course, we're here on the Album Network to bring to you the world premiere of the new album, The Division Bell, which we've done in the last 2 hours with the thanks to David Gilmour, Richard Wright, and Nick Mason of Pink Floyd for telling us about the making of this new album and what's been going on in their lives in the 7 years since we last had a studio album from Pink Floyd and a Pink Floyd tour. 7 years is a long time, but I think now that you've heard the Division Bell album, I think you will agree that it is well worth the wait. It takes and harkens back to really the finest days of Pink Floyd. I think arguably we could say that the crowning albums for Pink Floyd would have to be in the period that gave you... Whoa, there's more. There's more? The period that gave us Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, and certainly the album The Wall. A few things that we have seen and heard so far on this opening night of Pink Floyd's North American tour. We got to hear One of These Days, which, if you recall, is from the Metal album. It's an instrumental, but just the light show and the pyro and everything just in that one song was worth the price of admission. We also have got to hear Shine On You Crazy Diamond, Time, and Us and Them and Money from the Dark Side of the Moon. We got to hear Wish You Were Here, Another Brick in the Wall, and Comfortably Numb, which wrapped up the second part of the Pink Floyd show. They're back on stage once again, and I think I hear the strains of Hey You, which of course originally appeared on The Wall. It takes some 200 crew personnel to put this tour on the road, driving 49 trucks with 700 tons of steel. Yeah, well, that's 1,400,000 pounds of steel. It takes 3 days to set up the steel components of the stage, and because of that time lag, there are actually three Pink Floyd stages and crews leapfrogging across North America to do these 58 concert dates. Each concert has 300 speaker cabinets to fill the stadium. And I got to tell you, and this is no hype, I've been to a lot of rock and roll concerts in my life. Here at Joe Robbie Stadium, I don't know if it's because of Pink Floyd or because of the acoustics of the stadium or just both, but this is probably the finest concert sound I've ever heard. The echoey bounciness that you hear quite often in concert stadiums just is non-existent here. It is almost like sitting with 63,000 people and having your own personal Pink Floyd concert in your home. It is spectacular. One thing I noticed that just on the crew food for the band, there's like 50 gallons of milk, 1,000 eggs, 1,000 cans of soft drinks, and 1,200 tea bags per day. Do you think maybe most of the people are English on this crew or what? Amazing. We want to say a particular congratulations to the touring band. These people both appear on the new album, The Division Bell, and also in the live Pink Floyd band. Tim Renick on guitar. We remember Tim from not only Pink Floyd days, but also Sutherland Brothers of Quiver. Also Guy Pratt on bass, Gary Wallace on percussion, John Karen programmed keyboards, and a really sight for sore eyes, Dick Perry, the man who blew that wonderful bluesy mellow sax on Dark Side of the Moon. He's back on the album, The Division Bell, and also in the tour band. The live singers who do such a great performance augmenting Pink Floyd live are Durga McBroom, Sam Brown, and Claudia Fontaine, and they did a fantastic job tonight. A few points about the Division Bell album, just a reminder that it's on sale Tuesday in the stores,
But if you can't wait, and I couldn't wait, to buy the new Pink Floyd album, are you kidding me? Check for special midnight sales Monday night. Call this radio station you're listening for now for the store nearest you to find out about that. The Division Bell, as David Gilmour told us earlier, was recorded at Astoria, which is an actually floating recording studio on the River Thames in London. In addition to the Pink Floyd lineup, they've been produced by Bob Ezrin once again and did a fantastic job. And Chris, whose name escaped me, help me on Chris.
Thomas.
Thank you. Chris Thomas, a fantastic engineer who worked on Dark Side of the Moon, mixed this album. That's why it has that great feel. We'll come back to give you more of the sights and sounds of Pink Floyd's opening night on the Division Bell North American Tour as we continue live from Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami on the Album Network. Tonight's Album Network broadcast was brought to you by Sony. Hear what you want to. And by 1-800-COLLECT, the way to save on collect calls. The world premiere of Pink Floyd's The Division Bell was engineered so well by Rick R.J. Lane and John Valenzuela, with creative production by Steve Nelson. Our on-site technical coordinators have been Stephen Gray and Gene Joyce, and they have been superb. Special thanks to Steve O'Rourke and Jane Sen of EMCA Management. They're two of the finest. They're such a joy to work with. Thanks to Paul Rappaport, Rocky Jim Del Balzo, and Rasa Alps Ninnis of Columbia Records. Thanks to Michael Cole of CPI, to Rich McKeegan, Edie Burke, and the staff of Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami. They have been wonderful hosts. Thanks to David Brody of Southern Audio and everyone at IDB Communications. Our thanks and gratitude also go to Tommy Nast, Donna Geisinger, John Schoenberger, and Neil Bird of the Album Network, to Steve Saslow and June Brody of SJS Entertainment New York, and, of course, to Pink Floyd's David Gilmour, Nick Mason, and Richard Wright. No thanks at all to Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. The world premiere broadcast of Pink Floyd's The Division Bell was produced by Mark Felsott. We couldn't and wouldn't do it without him. And written by yours truly, Red Beard. Our associate producer, John Valenzuela. The executive producer of this world premiere broadcast is Stephen R. Smith. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Album Network. See you on the road with Pink Floyd.